morning. So I've called this Guarding Your Heart. I couldn't think of what to call it. And so the subtitle is Our Sound. So what I want to talk to you today is to do with the sound that we make, and that is in all the different aspects of it. So as I, you know, I've probably said this before because, you know, I'm a harmony girl and that this is my thing, but we are all vibrating, like everything is vibrating and everything is making a sound. And so we're vibrating with the sound of God's voice, because when he spoke creation into being, he spoke and he said, let there be. And that sound hasn't disappeared from the universe. It's still there. And that sound is resonating through time. And it's the thing that it says in the Bible, that God is holding everything together. And it's that sound that holds us together. And it's that sound that now sustains us and sustains all of creation. So all of us, we make sounds. You know, I'm making a sound right now with my voice. But every one of us, even if we're doing nothing, our body makes a sound. So our heartbeat is a sound. Our blood flow is a sound. Our digestion makes sounds. Even our muscles, as we move, our brain, as it's processing and as it's creating thoughts, all of these things, they may not normally be audible, but if we had, you know, the equipment to detect these things, we would all be making a sound all of the time. And as I said, we create audible sounds through our voice. So our words create a sound that is powerful. And we all have a choice of what comes out of our mouth. You know, I know that sounds like a possibly a challenging thing, but you don't have to speak anything. But the words that you do speak, you have choice over. And we also have a choice about the sound that our thoughts make and the sound that our life makes. They say that our DNA even makes a sound. And I know that Mike has talked about this, but they did a recording based on, so somebody was looking at the DNA, and I may not be exactly accurate in this, but basically they looked at the DNA and they assigned notes to each part of the DNA, and then they played the sound. So there is literally a song that our life is making through our DNA. And they've done recordings of planets, and there's, like, if you listen to nature, there's just the sound everywhere, because everything is vibrating and creating this life song. Again, that this is a story that has been shared here before, but there's a story of an African tribe. And when a child is born, all the people get together and they just work out what this life song of the newborn child is. And when they've worked it out, I don't know, they go out into the bush and, you know, this is something they're used to doing, so I don't know how they do it, but they somehow tune in to the life song of this child. And they come back and they sing over the newborn child, the song that they've been given for that child. And apparently then, as the child grows up, like through times of, so when it's like going into maturity, like in that time when it's a teenager and it's becoming an adult, they sing that song again. When the child gets married, they sing the song over it again. And then when the child eventually dies, the village sings that song over that person again. And they say that the only time that they ever sing that song, apart from those sort of ceremonial moments, is if the child, or the adult that it's become, breaks the law or does something wrong. And what they do, this makes me choke up, actually. They sing that song over the person to remind them of who they are. So when they've gone astray and they've lost their way, they draw them back into their true identity by singing that song over them. And I just like, that's amazing. And that's just that's a cultural thing. But all of us have a life song. So we bring influence and change by who we are, by the sound that we make. So if we enter a room, we affect the temperature, we affect the atmospheric pressure, but also we affect the atmosphere of a room. So, you know, I know that you know people who can be really positive or really negative. And so I have as you know, I work in the kitchen here, and it's quite a quite a small environment, and there's usually sort of four or five of us in there, and one person can affect what the atmosphere of the kitchen is like. And a while ago, I had a volunteer who was just incredibly positive. She, you know, she she would come in and it was like the whole atmosphere of the kitchen would just be better. You know, it's like you think, oh, she's here. And she always was friendly. She was always smiley. She never complained about anything. That, you know, there were things going on in her life. She had four children, so that life is complex when you've got children, but she never once complained about them. She just brought an amazing atmosphere, and the clients really, really loved her because I think they felt loved by her. But also, we had another lady who would come in, and she wasn't negative, but she just would find things hard work. I mean, she was an older woman, but she would constantly express how tired she was, and we'd all be like, oh yeah, I'm so tired. I'm just like, this is really hard work. It's just challenging. And then on days when she wasn't there, I really noticed that actually that atmosphere wasn't there. You know, when she was there, by about like 2:30, we'd all feel really like, oh, slumpy, and all need a coffee to get us going again. And then on the days when she wasn't there, it just carried on. We didn't have that negativity. And she wasn't doing it on purpose. She wasn't a moaning person. It was just that she found it hard work, and she brought that into the kitchen. And so I really believe that for me, I want to influence things well. So this Friday, I had a really, really busy week and I was feeling really tired. And I came to work feeling a bit grotty, actually. Not that anybody ever, anybody else feels like that. But for me, I was just like, I came in and I was just like, oh, I don't think I've got the strength to do today. I just wanted to get this day over, and you know, we can move into the weekend and I can relax. So I came in, and then I had another volunteer who was also in a fairly slumpy mood as well. And I could feel like the vibes coming off her of like negativity. And I was just like, I do not want to be adding that to the atmosphere. I don't want to be creating that sound. I don't want to add to what she's feeling. So I drew myself up and I was like, yeah, no, whatever I'm feeling, I am not releasing negativity into this place. I'm going to think good thoughts. I'm going to tap into God. I'm going to just connect myself to him. You know, I want to release something that's positive here. And within 30 minutes, she had changed. It's like her whole demeanor had changed. You know, you could feel that, like, she was tight and heavy and looked burdened. And very shortly afterwards, she looked lighter and was being chatty, and the whole thing changed. And it's like, for me, I want to be the one who influences the atmosphere. I don't want somebody else to affect how I'm feeling. So so it says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And your heart is another name for your soul. So your soul is filled with thoughts that determine what your life looks like and how you approach circumstances and how you deal with life issues and how you relate to other people and how you feel about yourself. So we have a choice what our heart is like and what our soul is expressing. And I think there's a pervasive thought that we just, you know, we're the victim of our circumstances, and if things are bad, then they're bad, and if they're good, they're good, and actually we just react to those things. But I'm learning more and more that I don't want to be reactionary. I want to be the person who actually creates something, and we are creative, so we can choose to bring a positive atmosphere. We can choose to bring a positive effect, and as we do that, we then create a flow that brings positive things to us. So just like when I decided to change how I was feeling on Friday, the whole atmosphere changed so that I then was in an atmosphere that was positive. And it can then bring positive things to you. So if you're complaining and moaning and saying, oh, everything's really bad, guess what? It will be bad. But if you're saying, no, God is good, and you know, I'm going to just tap into the good things, I'm going to look at the good things, then that's also going to change what happens and what is drawn to you. So there's that saying that gossips like gossipers. So, you know, you can see little huddles of people sometimes, and you know that they're talking about other things, and that's, you know, they're stirring up sort of like, oh, guess what happened? You know, if you watch any of the soap operas, which I really don't because they're so negative, but people love talking about other people. They love complaining about other people. They love saying, oh, guess what happened to so-and-so? You know, it's like all the scandal. But if you, so if you behave in that way, people will come and start sharing negative things with you. You know, I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet here, but I hear people say, oh, have you heard so-and-so? And I'm like, no, people, I just haven't heard that. Or they're like, oh, so-and-so's moaning about this. Have you heard about it? And I'm like, no, I am not the sort of person that draws people to moan at me, you know, which is a real blessing. But so we want to attract positive people, and we want to attract positive circumstances into our lives, and it's making a choice. And sometimes things can feel tough, and you're like, oh, but actually, if you look at my circumstances, they look really difficult, and you can feel underneath your circumstances, and it's difficult. And again, I've probably shared this before, but a couple of years ago, I just began to see that you can look at circumstances in different ways. So you can look at the good or you can look at the bad. And it's actually very easy to look at the bad. And I came to the conclusion that actually I was, that's still working, I was the sort of person actually who would have, I would sort of slip into the negative quite quickly. And I didn't want to be like that. So I decided that I was going to be somebody who lived in a place of credit. That it's like you can either be in debit or you can be in credit. And if you're in debit, you're in lack, you're depleted, you've got less than you need. If you're in credit, you've got everything that you need. Sorry, this is, do I need to do something about this? So, sorry, my mic is making funny noises, but I'll just carry on and you can fix it. So you can look at the same circumstance. So for me, again, in my work situation, I could go into work and, you know, I could find that I'm doing five jobs when I've got lots of people in the kitchen and I'm thinking, well, why aren't they doing this? Why can't they see that this needs doing? Why are they not helping me here? You know, why are they sitting around having a cup of coffee? Why are they not working harder? And it's like, that makes you feel horrible. You feel moany, you feel discontent, you feel complainy. What I began to think is, okay, I could not do this job without the volunteers who help me. You know, they bless me. They don't have to be here. It's not a job. They volunteer their time out of the goodness of their heart. They come in here. And even though sometimes it's hard work, actually, I'm blessed, and I've got a job. I'm doing something that I love, so I'm going to look at the credit of that. It's just making that conscious choice. And when you do that, your whole feeling, how you feel, completely changes. Your attitude towards what you're doing, you just feel lighter. You don't feel weighed down and burdened. You just feel better because you're choosing to live in that place of credit. And it's also focusing on who God is. You know, God is good all the time. So if my circumstances look difficult, the truth is that God is good and he's got good things for me and he loves me. And he may be allowing things to happen, but actually this is not the end of things. It's just the beginning of things. It's part of the process. It's part of the pathway that I'm walking on. And if I focus on God's goodness and his love for me, it's just like, again, that just lifts how you feel about things. It just creates that positivity in your life that makes you feel just better. And it you know, it can be a physical thing. When you're heavy with negativity, when you're feeling like you're under the circumstances, when you feel burdened by things, it literally can feel like a heavy weight. It can feel like a heavy weight on your shoulders. It can feel like, you know, something heavy in your chest. You know, if you've got difficult emotional circumstances going on in your life, it can feel like you've got all this yuck tangled up in the seat of who you are, like in your soul, in your heart. But God didn't create us to be like that. So if we can shed these things and learn how to be in that place of peace with him, then we physically can feel better. And those negative things can actually lead to illness and can lead to muscle pain and physical pain. So, you know, we don't want to be in that place either. So our thoughts So it says here, guard your heart. So guard your thoughts. Guard what's coming out of you. Because your thoughts become words and they spill out. And they create the world around you and they create the world within us. So in Proverbs 18, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. For me personally, I would like life. I'd like to choose life. And I'd like to be expressing life through what I say. So a couple of weeks ago, I was just pondering on some things. And as you know, I'm part of the Harmony Bench. And I was just finding it a bit difficult. You know, I was finding that I was feeling a bit heavy about things and just a bit lethargic about things and just finding it difficult. And I was just meditating on these things. And God showed me, because I've been doing a lot of thoughts about soul and spirit, he showed me that actually words are living and active. It talks about that in the Bible. It says that the words are living and active. But I believe that every word has got power and it's living and active. And that there are there's a spirit side to words and there's a soul side to words. This may be like completely out there and you're like, what? But this, just bear with me. So I was thinking about the word harmony. And so God showed me that the soul side of harmony is things like passivity, compromise, being misaligned, self-empowering, because you would do whatever you need to do to create harmony, keeping the peace at all costs, lethargy. They're not nice words, are they? They just make you feel like, ugh, you know. But I was like, okay, God, if that's what the soul side is like, what's the spirit side? And he said that the spirit side of the word harmony is things like light, life, synchronicity, union, communion, connection, peace, ease, familiarity, one heart and one mind, collaboration, knowing and being known, purposefulness, hope, anticipation, alignment, fully functioning, firm foundation, expectation. Now, aren't those words more hopeful? Don't they feel like they resonate with more life? Don't they make you feel more positive? So God has shown me that actually even words can have positive and negative feelings, and it's like tuning into the life of things. Okay, so we're just going to look at the power of words. So in John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." And you know this, but it was the creative power of God's words that's made things happen. And we are made in his image, so we have creative power in the words that we speak. So in Genesis 2, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every wild beast and living creature of the field, and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name." And I believe that Adam didn't just think, "Oh, that looks like a giraffe, I'm going to call it a giraffe." What I believe he did was he was like, "I want that to be a giraffe, I'm going to call it a giraffe, and it will become a giraffe." So God was actually teaching Adam the power of his creative words. So Adam spoke words over the beasts and they became what he spoke. So he actually had a part, he played a part in the process of creation, because God was teaching Adam that he was creative and he was powerful. So in the church here, we have eight mountains, lots of mountains. But each mountain has declarations that they have created or felt that God has downloaded to them, because they believe that they have power and influence over their spheres, over their area. So over the church here, over our town, over our region. And so they're speaking out these words of life. They're speaking out these declarations to bring change and transformation to where we live and to our region. We're bringing the kingdom of God here through the words that we speak. we're speaking those words of life because we're tapping into that creative power that brings transformation through the words that we speak. And we're saying, yeah, God, we're going to declare these words. We're going to declare peace over our town. We're going to declare harmony. We're going to declare freedom. We're going to declare blessing. We're going to release these things into the atmosphere around us through the words that we speak and through our lives. So we believe that we have influence. So this is another example of the power of speaking. So Elijah was a human being. You know, he wasn't a god, he wasn't an angel. He was just a normal person. He earnestly prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Well, that's pretty frightening, actually, isn't it? If you're saying, oh, you know, I'm going to just declare there's going to be no rain. You know, that would not be a good thing. So, you know, God doesn't actually necessarily allow us to use all the power that we've got. But we are powerful. And so Elijah was just a normal person who spoke in alignment with what God was wanting. And his words created a drought, which was just like, yeah. So, where are we going here? So the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing and effective. So that, you know, people think of that as the Bible. They just think of that as the written word, but it's the spoken word. And because we're made in his image, we also have words inside of us that are active and full of power. This is another example of speaking. And just, this is an example of just being. So more and more believers in the Lord, crowds of men and women were constantly being added to their number to such an extent that they even carried their sick out onto the streets and put them on cots and sleeping pads so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them with healing power. So in this example, Peter didn't even speak. He carried something. He created a sound that was so in tune with God, was so in alignment with the kingdom purposes, that the sound that he created from his very being brought healing to people when they were in his shadow. And that's what we can be. We can be people who can bring redemption just by our very lives. His life released a sound that brought transformation. And it says that the whole earth is groaning for the sons of men to be revealed. And so I want to answer that groan by my life bringing a sound of life and hope and expectation. And, you know, that's a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's a process that we can move towards. So I'm going to ask you guys to do an exercise in a minute, but I'm just going to share an example. This is a bit of a personal one, but it's a good example of how these things work. When I was, 16 or 17, I was with my dad, and we were sat in a car. And he wasn't trying to be mean or unkind to me, but he said, Alice, the person that you marry, the man that you marry, is probably going to be an older man, and he's going to be more interested in your brains than in your body, which is really, really not a nice thing for a father to say over his daughter. And I was a Christian at the time, I'd been a Christian, so I knew that this was not helpful. And so I consciously batted it out of court. I was just like, no, I'm not going to partner with that. I'm not going to align with that. That's not, you know, how I'm going to feel about myself. And then a couple of years later, I found myself falling for a guy who was older than me. And I was just like, oh, what am I going to do? Because this is like fulfilling that prophecy. I don't want to. But I again, pushed that aside. But throughout our marriage, so this was Jeremy, I have found it difficult to believe that he finds me attractive, which I know that's like not a helpful thing, but it's just been a stumbling block. So even though I made that conscious decision that I was going to bat it out of court, I wasn't going to partner with it, my subconscious completely partnered with it. And it was just like, yeah, that's obviously true. You know, I must be really ugly. I must be just completely unattractive. But it's like nobody's going to like me, you know, as a woman. So although I consciously decided not to partner with it, my subconscious completely did. And so it's like these words have power. So what I would like you to do, which is a little bit scary, and I just want you to be brave now, is, oh, let me just click this. So what I would like you to do is just spend some time, because I believe that there are things that have been spoken over us that have caused us a problem. And I would like you to be really brave and to just jot down things. And I don't want you to necessarily just engage with your head here, because there may be things that come into your head really quickly, but I would like you to engage, let God really engage with your spirit and your soul in this, so that he reveals the things that he wants you to deal with this morning. So it's not necessarily what you obviously think of, but just let God drop things into you. So I would like you to write a list. It may not be a list, it may be just one thing that has been really, really powerful. So I'm going to give you some bits of paper. What I'd like you to do, we're going to play some really nice music. If you feel like you need to just spread out a bit and you don't want to... Oh, there's pens here as well. If you just feel like you need a bit of space, but I am going to gather you back. So it's the negative words that I speak or have spoken over myself. And also what I think is not just words that you've spoken, but words or sentences that you have thought. So you may never have spoken them out, but in your being, you just think these things about yourself. So, and also then the next one is the negative words that are spoken or have been spoken over me. It's like the power of words can be so significant. So again, I just want you to sort of tune into God and allow him to remind you. It may be that you've got a lot of things, but God just wants to focus on one thing or a few things today. Okay, then it's the negative words that I speak or have spoken over others. Okay, the last bit is God's words of life for me. Can you leave that blank for the time being? Because I'm going to give you, I don't know, about 10 minutes now to do the first three, and then we'll come back together and deal with that, and then we'll get into getting some good stuff back. So I'm going to give you 15 minutes to do the first three. So we're going to play some music. Again, if you do want to spread out and find somewhere that's a bit more private to just do this and spend time with God, there's tables at the back there. Just give yourself time, and then after 15 minutes, I will call you back and gather you back. Thank you. guys, I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment. If you're still in that process, then you can carry on during the worship, or you can carry on when you go home. You know, don't feel that this is the only time that you have to do this. But what I want to do now is I want to encourage us to break the power of these words. So I want you to look at the words that you have spoken over yourself, and look at the words that you speak over others. And you can either say this out loud, or you can just follow in your heart. But so, Jesus, we invite you, and we repent of all of these things. We nail these words to the cross. If you need to speak those words out loud, very quietly, if you feel like you just need to actually express them audibly, just have a moment. If we could put the music up a little bit. So, Jesus, I repent of saying, agreement with these words. I break the power that they have had over other people, and I nail them to the cross, and I ask for freedom for myself and freedom for those people that I have spoken over. And I ask for your blood to come and wash me clean. So now, if we could look at the words that you have spoken over you, over yourself. So, Father, I repent for speaking these words over myself, or for thinking thoughts that were not of you. So I declare these words, I speak them out. And I repent of speaking these words over myself. I break the power and influence they have over my life. I break the way that they have caused me to live a negative life. I repent of how they have caused me to live a life that was separate from you. And I choose to realign myself with the identity that you have given me. So I ask for your cleansing to come, and to remove the effects of these words over my life. So Father, I ask for you to release your words of life for me. And tell me who I truly am and how you see me. So if you'd like to just have some time, we're going to give you a bit more time just to allow God to speak words of life to you. Just allow him to drop those words into your spirit of how he sees you, who you truly are, the words that he speaks over you that have that creative power that make you who you are. So I'll just give you a chance to spend time doing that. After that, we're going to go into a time of worship. If you need any ministry, if you feel like, yeah, God has highlighted some things that you really need to deal with and you need some help, then just grab somebody this morning or make an appointment with Karen. But don't allow this thing to fester. But just really, if God has highlighted something, just get rid of it and break the power that it's had over your life.